Archibald said, good morning, let's begin. So we are picking up, today's daf is Tzadik Ches 98, so we are picking up on Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. So we left off, Rabosa, yesterday, we left off on the bottom of Tzadik Zayin Amud Boimine Rava Merav Kista. A lot to do today. Six lines up from the bottom. So Boimine Rava Merav Kista. Rava asked the following Kasha Rav Kista. Amalves Chavera Alamat Beya Vosifola. Rabbi says, we actually mentioned this case yesterday. I lend my friend produce. I lend him produce with the condition that he's going to pay me back money. Okay, so I lend him produce, he's going to pay me back money. I want produce, I want money back. And what happens, Rabbi says, let's say they agreed for repayment to take the form of a particular coin. I'm going to lend you a core of wheat. You're going to pay me back 10 zuzim. Then what happens? So the government added on silver, actually added silver to the currency of the coin. So there's more silver in each zuz. So mahu, both say, what is the halacha? Meaning, how do we structure repayment in that case? Amarlo, no sima matbeah yotze ba'osasha. So what's the question? You give him whatever the zuz is that is in circulation at that time. Armalei vafilu kinafio. But is that true even if the coin became as big as a sieve? Rabbi says, so obviously he's in a little bit of hyperbole over here. I mean, what if the coin becomes so big that there's so much extra silver? Do I still give him that coin? Yes. Armalei afilu ki tracha. Even tracha is even bigger than an afi, even bigger than a sieve. Even like a tracha, armalei in. Avaha kazalion peri. But one second. But fruit has become cheaper. In other words, Rabbi says, how do you account for the fact that there's more silver in the actual coin itself, which means that there's greater buying ability. How do you account for that? So I'm going to say, remember, what the Gemara is asking over here is really a ribis issue. So how is it if I arrange with Reuven that I'm giving him a core of wheat and I want 100 zuzim back, right? I'm giving him, which is the equivalent, the value. And then the government adds silver to the zuz. So the zuz that he's going to pay me back with is going to have more silver than the original zuz was at the time that we made our arrangement. How do we take that into account? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Chazinon. So I'm sorry. Amar Lei Baha, Kazalian Peri. But one second, how do you account for the fact that now that coin that I'm getting back, right, will be able to buy more fruit? So the fact that it has more buying power has to do with the fact that there's more silver in there, which then should be an issue of ribis. You're right. What we look at is the following. Why can you buy more fruit with this coin? If it's because there's more silver in the coin, then enachinami, we readdress the repayment amount so that there's not a ribis issue. Tab of Sadiches. V'imachmas tira, however, if it's because there's been a lot of rain, and that's why, again, there's a lot of fruit, zil, and therefore fruit has become cheaper, then lo menachinli. In other words, we'll say, so we look at why is it exactly that lemaisa, again, you could buy more fruit. If it's because there's more silver in the coin, then enachinami will have to readdress the terms of repayment in order not to enter into a ribis issue. If, on the other hand, it's because there's been bountiful rainfall and there's just a surplus in the market, that's why prices are down, then we don't have to readdress the repayment amount. So the Gemara says, but one second, v'haki shavach le'inyanaska, but how do you deal with the fact that just objectively there's more silver? In other words, we'll say, at the end of the day, I'm getting back more silver than originally planned for. How is that not ribis? Of the uvda bezuzi de'ag redyamas tayo. So we'll say, so there was this episode of Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yoshua, and Rav Papa, who had this type of episode with Agridamios, the Arab merchant. And what happens? Ad Yud Betamnio. Until they arranged a ratio of 8 to 10. So Rashi points out of here, if you look at Rashi, Abdu Uvda, Ba'adam Shehilves Chaver Alamadea, Ba'osifu Allah, Ba'holchu El Agridimus, Socher Yishmuel, Ba'hayelam in Arishonam in Ashnia Mazu. So what ended up happening is this type of case came up, not with produce, but with money. Reuven lent Shimon money. And what happens? Shimon wanted to pay back the money, but the coins that Shimon wanted to pay back with had greater value than the coins Reuven lent him. They went to this Arab merchant. They figured out the ratio of the silver ratio of the new coins to 8 coins. And it turned out he only had to pay 8 new coins for the 10 old coins that were lent. Also, what the Gemara is saying is, Enachinami, if there is a significant silver increase in the new coinage, then we will go ahead and assess the proper ratio for repayment. So we'll say, so again, obviously this type of halacha only applies in olden times where lemaisa, again, currency was actually made out of the precious metals itself. So there, if there was more precious metal added to the coinage, then ein achinami, you could have a problem of rimis. And if it's significant enough, the Gemara says, we will address the ratio. The Gemara goes back to Amar Rabba. What's this amazing case? Rabba says, Hazorik ma peyashal chaber liyama godl. Both say, if somebody throws his friend's coin, into the yama godl. The yama godl is the Mediterranean. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Potter. Your potter. Now, don't get excited. There's more to this. My timer, what's the reason? Amar hamanach kamach. Chazak said, listen, your coin's right there. It's in the Mediterranean. It's not lost. It's not lost. It's just in the sea. So the Gemara says, one second. Ibai shakle. If you want, go get it. Vahani mili bitzelulin. So says the Gemara, well, there are a couple of caveats to this. Number one, this is assuming of Osei that the water is clear. So if the water is clear, the assumption is what? That you could see exactly where the coin is. Dekachazile. You could see it. Avalachurim, but if the water is cloudy, delokachazule, low. Where you're not able to see the water, then lemaisa, one would be chayiv ultimately for throwing his friend's coin into the Mediterranean. Vahani mili, da adi aduye. Now, both say, furthermore, this is only when what? This is only when my friend's holding the coin and I hit his hand. So I hit his hand, that causes the coin ultimately to go ahead and fall into the Yama Gadol. That's when I'm potter. Aval shakle biyodei. But if I literally go ahead and take the coin in my hand, then what? Migzal gazle hashava boy me of it. But if I actually take the coin in my hand, then what? Then I am performing an act of gezel. Then this would be an actual act of theft, and I'd be obligated to go ahead and make restitution. Massive Rava. So we'll say. So the point over here, the Gemara is trying to make, which is really quite interesting, is that Lemaisa in this situation, this, as we'll see in just a little bit, is going to be a case of Grumma. It's going to be a case of Grumma, causation. So because there's an act of causation here, I'm hitting his hands. The coin is flying into the water. The coin is technically accessible because it's in the clear waters of the Yam HaGodol. Therefore, I'm potter. Massive Rava. Rava raises a kasha. Ein mechalal in amosh, ein abishuso. So we'll say the halacha is that under normal circumstances, you cannot deconsecrate Maaser Sheni on money that is not in your active possession. And we'll say when we say possession, we don't mean ownership. We mean actually in your hand. The Gemara says, Ketzad, what's the case? Hayolom ma'os bikistara ubahara melech. But say if a person had money in Kistura or in Haramelach, Narashi says over here, Hayolom ma'os bikistara, makom buhu rachok ma'od v'yishba sakhanas turachim, v'yin sharas v'tzu yosha. So we'll say these are places that were far away, sometimes dangerous to travel to, and it was difficult to get a caravan that was going there. Osha nafal kisal yamagodol. Or, if your money fell into the Mediterranean, ein mechalolin. You may not deconsecrate Maaser Sheni on that money. Now, both say, we don't care so much about Kistura and Haramelach. What do we care about right now? The Yama Godol. Because what does this show you? This shows you, you see, we just got finished saying what? That when my money is sitting in the Mediterranean, as long as the water's clear, then what? It's as if it's in my possession. What we're seeing over here now is that we just said you can only deconsecrate Maaser Sheni on money that's in your possession. What's an example of money that's not in your possession? Money in the Mediterranean. So which one is it? So kasha, it's a contradiction. Amar Rabba, Sheni le'inyan Maaser. Rabba says, no, Maaser Sheni is different. I'll tell you why. Deba'inon matsui biyadecha. Because we'll say by Maaser Sheni, there's a specific need that the money has to actively be available in your hand. It has to be matsui biyadecha, available in your hand. Drachmana amar v'tzarta kesef biyadecha v'lecha. Because the Torah says, you shall take the money in your hand, and then you shall go to Yushalayim. So we'll say, see over here, by Maaser Sheni, there's a specific din of not just accessibility to the money, but what? Literally physical possession of the money. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, I will say it's not a contradiction. Therefore, for Maaser Sheni purposes, the money mamash has to be in your hand. But for Gezel purposes, if somebody knocks, I even actively, purposely knocks that coin out of my hand, falls into the Mediterranean, as long as the water is clear and the money is technically retrievable, then Lemaisa, the one who knocked the coin out of my hand, will not be chayiv. But Amar Rabba, Rabba similarly said, Hashaf matbea shel chaver apater. Rabba says, Shaf matbea shel chaver, Rashi says, Shepiches esatzura. Both say, remember, money under normal circumstances, coins, really only have the ability to be used in the marketplace, not just because of their precious metal content, but because of the image, right? Because of the image. Let's say I take my friend's coin and I erase the image on it. So the silver is still there, whatever the precious metal is still there, right? But the image is no longer there. So what's the halacha? Have I caused damage or not? So the Gemara says, Potter, I am not chai for any kind of damages. My time, what's the reason? Dehalo abed velo midi. Because in reality, I haven't done anything. I was supposed to say, the coin is still there, the silver is still there. All right, I erased the image, but la maisa, the coin in its totality, is still present. V'hani mili demachki bekornusa. But that's only true of what Rabbi was saying. If I got rid of the image, how? By hammering the coin. Because when you hammer the coin, what happens? So you depress the image, but what? The silver content remains the same. Aval shayfa bishufina chasuri chasrei. But if you chisel off the image of Osai, then what? Then that diminishes the silver in the coin, and then in a chinami, a person will be chayef for the loss that they cause. Masiv Rava. So Rava raised the kasha. Hiko al eino v'samal ozno v'charsho. Bosai, if you hit your Evans, Evan Kanani, you hit your Avikanani on his eye, in his eye, and he goes blind. Or you go ahead and you hit him in the ear and he goes deaf. So what's the halacha? Eved yotzei bahen lecheiros. An eved goes free as a result of these injuries. Keneged eino ve'eino roa. Keneged ozno ve'eino shomea. Ein eved yotzei bahen lecheiros. But I will say, if interestingly enough, if let's say you go ahead and you do something opposite the eye. So I don't know exactly what this, how this would happen. Is there such a case like this?
Yeah, who kind of injury? It's like a concussion. It goes forward and backwards. You get a retinal detection.
Okay, what Dr. Elman just said. Right? So if I go ahead and I do something not to the eye, but in proximity to the eye that causes him to go blind, I do something not to the ear, but in proximity to the ear that causes him to go deaf, what's the halacha? Ein eved yotzei b'hen lecheiros. An eved does not go free as a result, ultimately, of these injuries. Now, I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi is al ozno v'charsho. So remember again, so what the Brice is teaching me is, I will say, that if you injure the eved directly on his body, then lemaisa he'll go free. But if you do something outside of his body, even if it causes the same result of blindness or deafness, he will not go free. So it says Rashi al ozno v'charsho. Alma, what do you see from here? Therefore, afagav v'lo chasre kevan da'asa maisa begufo lav grama kachashivle ela mamish v'hacha nami kevan demachi b'kornuse v'achse v'acha. So we'll say, what the Gemara is asking here is the following. The Gemara is making the assumption that when the person goes deaf or the person goes blind, so the body itself is not deficient, meaning the body is as whole as it was before a person was deaf or before a person was blind. Yet what? Yet they still go free. So what the Gemara is asking is the following. The Gemara says, you want to make it sound like if I take someone's coin, I take Reuven's coin, and I hammer out the image, right? And I depress the image, so there's no longer an image over there. Because they haven't changed the silver content of the coin, I shouldn't be chayev. There's no damage that's done. The Gemara brings the case of Eved to show that even if nothing physically changes in a person in the Eved still goes free. Which shows us what? That even if the full amount of the item is still there, but you've changed the state of that item, that should be damages as well. And you should be chayev for that. To which the Gemara says, no, Rabba latamei d'amar Rabba, charshu la'abev neherag. Rabba goes right to his reason, because Rabba's Rabbo said that if a person causes his father to go deaf, he is killed. Rabbo, remember, if you cause a chabura, if you cause an injury in your parent that draws blood, so a child could be executed for such a transgression. So Rabba says that if a person hits his father, and his father, chasham, goes deaf, a person could be executed for that. Why? She efshe lecharisha below chabura. Because Rabba says it is impossible for deafness to occur as a result of an injury without internal injury. He says, the tifsa de dama nafalt ba'onye, because there must have been a drop of blood that spilled in his ear. In other words, we'll say, what Rabba is saying is, just because a person looks whole on the outside, blindness and deafness are only caused by some type of internal injury. Therefore, again, the individual is absolutely physically deficient as a result of the injury, even though what? Even though you can't physically see it. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, as opposed to the case, as opposed to the case of the coin, where even when I hammer out the image, as much as the image is going gone, the coin itself is still complete because the entire silver content is still present. Va'amar Rabba said, Hatzorim ozen paraso shachavero pater. But says an incredible Gemara. So one who nicks the ear of his friend's cow is pater. So once I go over to Reuven's cow, I cut its ear. So I'm pater, meaning I have no liability. Why? My timer. Because at the end of the day, the cow is no different. I mean, what is the difference between a cow with a nicked ear or a cow not with a nicked ear? The cow is still a cow. The lo avid v'lo midi, haven't done anything to go ahead and change the cow. So it says, Gemara, what are you talking about? That's not true, Abosai. What's the halacha? The halacha is that a cow with a nicked ear cannot be offered up as a karban. Right? Can't be offered as a sacrifice. So the mice again, how can you say you haven't done it? It's a very profound statement. The kulhu shvarim lav legabe mizbeach kami. Rabbi said, not every shar has to be able to go on the mizbeach. What does that mean? Incredible yisod. Not everybody has to be able to do the same thing in life. We'll say it is incredible yisod. Not our topic for today, but you know, very often there's a societal thought process that says that equality means everyone has to be able to do the same thing. So that's not true in Judaism. Meaning in Judaism, we absolutely believe that equality means we're all equal and that we're all important. But we all have very different tasks and we all have very different mandates and we all have very different expectations. And just because I can't do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash doesn't make me less of a Jew. And just because a woman doesn't count as part of a minyan doesn't make her less of a Jew. Everybody has their defined roles. Just like not every single shor is supposed to go on the Mizbeach. Incredible, incredible yisod. So says the Gemara, therefore again, okay, the animal can't be offered up as a karbon. Great. Most animals are not karbonos. And guess what, shor? Just because you can't be offered up as a karbon doesn't mean you're not a good shor. You're still a good shor, right? You're still a good barbecue, right? Adam David is getting ready over here, right? You can make a lot of people very happy. So that's therefore again, I have not done anything. I really haven't changed the shor in any way. And therefore, the mice, so again, there is no liability. Massive rubber. Rubber raised the kasha. But one second. Ha'osa melacha b'mechatas u'paras chatas. But if one goes in and does melacha, does work. We'll say mechatas and paras chatas is paraduma. So mechatas refers to the water mixed with the ashes. Remember, so if I do work, so remember, what's the classic case of doing work with the mechatas? I use it as a counterweight, right? I have a scale, and I use the water of the paraduma as the counterweight. Or I do work with the para itself, with the para aduma itself. So pater medini adam v'chabedini shamayim. So ultimately, again, I am pater medini adam, right? I'm pater in an earthly court, but I'm chayv in dini shamayim. So the Gemara says melacha hu delo minkar has melacha hu delo minkar hezeka. About sorim de minkar hezeka hachanami de mechayv in dini adam. So we'll say, so I would have thought that it's dafka melacha. It's only in a case of where I do work with the para aduma or with the mechatos, where I will say it's not recognizable. Meaning, no one's going to know by looking at the mechatos if I use it as a countermeasure or not. Maybe that's the case where I'm pater b'dinei adam, because the ma'aseh is nothing recognizable. However, again, about sorim the minkar hazeka, but in a case where I literally I nick the ear of the cow hazeka the minkar hazeka hachinami the mechay b'dinei adam, I might have thought that I should be chay b'dinei adam also because it is recognizable hazek. Omri hu adin dafilu tzorim pater. The reality is that nicking the ear of the cow, you're also potter. So the novelty over here is what? The novelty over here is I might have thought that when I go ahead and I use the water of the para aduma as what? As a counterweight, or I go ahead and you do work with the para aduma, I would have thought that perhaps I should be totally potter. Why? Because it's not recognizable at all. Kamash malon, that I'm chayv in that case. So I'll be chayv b'dini shamayim, not b'dini adam. But Rabbi Yossi, in a case ultimately again of where I nick the ear of the animal, I'm not even going to be chayv b'dini adam because I really haven't done anything qualitatively to the cow. The fact that it can't be used as a karban shkoyach, most oxen don't go up as karbanos, therefore I will not be chayv. But Amar Rabba, Rabba says, it was another interesting case. Asorif shtaro shel chaveiro pater. This is actually very interesting. So Rabba says, I go over to Reuven. Reuven holds a loan document. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and the loan is recorded in a document. I go over to Reuven, I take his document, and I burn it. Rabbi says, I'm potter. The Amrle, Naira Kaloi Minach. Because Rabbi says, I could say to Reuven, what did I do to you? I burnt a piece of paper. So how much is a piece of paper? 5 cents? Okay, here's 5 cents. I didn't do anything to you. So Maskif Marai Barchama, because it must say, again, it's true, meaning if you look at this in a vacuum, what the extent of the, I there's causation here. I've now caused him to have an inability to potentially collect the debt. But Lamais, again, at the end of the day, the active damage is in the form of a piece of paper. Maskef aray bar chama. Sorry, bar chama. Hechi dami. All right, take a deep breath. Hechi dami. Say idi ika. Well, we'll be all right. Idi ika sahadi diyada my hava b'shtar lechtivule. So let's analyze the case. What's the case here? If there are witnesses who knew about the transaction between Reuven and Shimon, and they knew about the amount that Reuven went ahead and lent Shimon, no problem. Just go ahead and write another shtar. In other words, if there are edim that know about the loan between Reuven and Shimon, just have them write down a new document. What's the big deal? So Gemara says, v'idaleka sahadi anan minayadinan. And the truth is, if there are no witnesses, then in Achinami, we can't recreate this document at all, because who's going to know how much was in this document to begin with? Rava Taba Ma'amino. So Rava says the case over here we're talking about is, this is even so, even if, let's say again, the guy who burnt the document says, oh, I could attest to the fact that it said in the document, before I burnt it, I read it. It's good to burn things, read things before you burn them. So before I burnt it, I read that Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and Reuven believes this individual. So we'll say, even in that case, where you can reconstruct the details of the shtar, nevertheless, the one who burnt the shtar will not be chayiv anything to the holder of the shtar, because Rabbi says he has not really damaged him in a direct way. Yes, in a causation fashion. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but not in a direct fashion. So it says the Gemara, Amar Abdimi Bar Chanina, Hod Rabba Machlogis Rav Shimon Rabbanei. Rabbi says, this statement of Rabba, that if I burn the shtar of someone else, a note of collection, someone else's note, that I'm potter, is in fact the Machlogis Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. Listen to this. So we'll say Reb Shimon is the one who says that something that causes a loss is like money itself. Something that causes a loss of money is the equivalent of money. Therefore, according to Reb Shimon, Rabbi saying, if I go ahead and I go over to Reuven and I burn his loan document, therefore, again, that document is a gori mamamon. That document is something that allows or that enables Reuven to collect money. So because it's a gori, it's something that causes money is the wrong term, is something that affects collection of money, therefore it has the status of money, therefore it is as if I actively damaged Reuven. That's Reb Shimon. On the other hand, the Rabbanan do Amr Dabra Goran Lamala Lav Kimamon Dami, Lo Mechayiv, but the Rabbanan on the other hand, hold Rabbo, says something that affects money, something that causes the collection of money, is not like money, then Lamaisa, again, my act of burning Reuven's loan document will not cause any liability on my part. Maskev Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua, so Rav Huna Breid Yoshua raised the Kasha, Amar the Shama say the Rabbi Shimon Davar Gorim Lamamon Kidami. So we'll say, when does Rabbi Shimon say that a Davar Hagorim Lamamon Kimamon Dami? Does something Rabbi say that ultimately causes money? Something that ultimately, have to think of the right formulation for this, but something that affects money, or something that ultimately, something that really has a value, something that allows for me to collect money, ultimately is like money itself. That's true. That's true with something that is inherently valuable. What does that mean? Kidirabo. Domarabo. Gozel chametz lifnei Pesach. Uba achar v'sarfo. So listen to this. I stole chametz before Pesach. So I steal chametz from Reuven before Pesach. What happens? Ba achar v'sarfo. And now let's say, I'm stealing from Reuven. Shimon comes along and burns my stolen chametz. Shimon's burned my stolen chametz. So watch this. B'moed Potter. So I will say, if he did it over the Yom Tov of Pesach, then Shimon is going to be Potter for burning the chametz. Why? Sha'kol mitzuvin alav levaro. Because I will say, everybody is obligated to go ahead and burn chametz on Pesach. La'achar ha-Pesach. However, again, if the chametz was burned after Pesach, I will say, then what? In that case, Machlokis Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanon. I will say that case will be Machlokis Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanon. How so? The Rabbi Shimon da'amar davar hagorim l'mamon kimamon dami chayiv. So I will say, listen to this. According to Rabbi Shimon, so who holds that a davar hagaron l'mamon k'mamon dami, you'll be chayav. We'll say, now let's play this out for just a moment. Why? Because listen to this. I stole the chametz from Reuven. Shimon comes along and burns it. But we'll say, had Shimon not burned it, what would have happened after Pesach? What would have happened after Pesach? Right? It be asr, but remember, we learned in our Mishnah that even chametz she'avar alav Pesach, I could take that, I could take it to the owner, and I could say what? Harei shalchalaf hanecha. Here's your chametz, right? I'm giving you back exactly what I stole. It changed state, halachic state. So remember again, this goes back to our Mishnah that holds hezek shenor nikra lo shmei hezek. Unrecognizable damage is not damage, and therefore lemaisa, I could have technically just returned that chametz as is. Now that Shimon went ahead and what? Now that Shimon went ahead and burnt that chametz, what am I going to have to do? What do I have to do? I don't have to repay the value of the chametz at the time it was stolen. So Rabbi Shimon therefore says, when Shimon comes along and burns the chametz that I stole, he's going to be chayiv for that act. Why? Because a davar hagori, because even though that's chametz shelo pesach, it's asher ba'ano, right? But because it's a davar hagori l'mamon, that ultimately, that the absence of that item will now cost me money. Therefore, it has the equivalent. Therefore, it is considered as mamon itself, and therefore again, Shimon will be chayiv for the act of destroying it. According to the Rabbanon who hold that a davar hagoren lamamon, something that causes the need for an outlay of cash, is not like money itself. In that case, again, he will be potter. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that even Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar hagoren lamamon kimamon dami, that's something about say that ultimately will cause the need for a future outlay of cash, is like money itself. That's only true for something that is inherently valuable. Like what? Like chametz she'avar alav pesach. But something that is not inherently valuable. Like what? Like a piece of paper. Perhaps even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's not considered to be a davar. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that in that case, a davar hagarin lamamon is lav kemamon dami. The Gemara says, "B'davar sheni karam mamon mi arminon." Does Rabbi Shimon hold that a davar hagarin lamamon kemamon dami would be true even in a case where the item was not inherently valuable? To which the Gemara says, "Amra meimar man didoin dina digarmi magbi be deme shtari me'alya." So Amemar says, the truth is, Rabbi said, this is part of a different discussion. And this is the discussion of Garmi. Rabbi said, now we touched on this a little bit earlier in our Masechta, but we're going to come back to it again, actually on Daf Kuf. So we'll say, there's a concept of Grama and Garmi. So both essentially mean causation, causative damages, where I am not damaging directly, but rather I'm doing something that indirectly results in damage. How to draw the distinction between Grama and Garmi, Rabbi says, is going to be a very fine dance. For our purposes today, so Grama is indirect, Garmi is also indirect, but Garmi is a little bit more direct, indirect damage than Grama. Okay? So, it's not me being evasive, it's actually amorphous. We're gonna see this again, we will further define this a little bit more, but just for our purposes today, Garmi is just a bit more direct than Grama. So Amemar says the following: Man didot in dina de garmi. Those who hold that you are chayiv for garmi, magbi be demei shtar ma'ayah. Both say in a case of where someone would go ahead and burn a shtar. So if I were to go ahead and burn Reuven shtar, then einach inami, I would be liable for the full amount of the loan. Uman delo doin dina de garmi, and somebody who does not hold that, who does not adjudicate, who does not hold you liable for cases of garmi, magbi be deme naira ba'almo, would hold you liable only for what? Only for the value of the paper. So now what we're saying over here is the following. In the world of Grama, everyone apparently would agree that you would not be chayav for burning the loan document of someone else. In the world of Garmi, which Rabbi says is the world that says, well, one second, let's look a little bit closer at your actions. And even though you're right, you're not actively taking $1,000 out of Reuven's pocket, but Lamaisa, you are destroying the ability for him to collect that $1,000. That's not, it's true, it's not direct damage, but it's also not Grama. It's a little bit more direct. A little bit more direct, we call that Garmi. So if you hold that you are liable for Garmi, if I burn the loan document document of Reuven, I would be chayav to give Reuven back $1,000. But if you don't create liability in cases of garmi, you'll still be chayav. Not for the $1,000, but what? For the active damage you did cause, which was the damage to the paper. But kafki rafram. So most say this case happened. The kafki rafram the Rav Ashi. So this is interesting. Apparently, and again, the circumstances here are not clear. So Rav Ashi went ahead and burnt someone else's loan document. I will say, if you look at Rashi, this is amazing. Va'achve rafim l'ravashi, shesarav shtar chavero bialduso. I say, listen to this. Ravashi, when he was a kid, apparently got into some trouble. He burnt someone's loan document. So apparently, so remember, just you should know on whether or not there's liability. This happens to you, by the way, so you should know. This far and bring down in Hilchos Tshuva. That a person is supposed to think about things they did in their childhood as well. Meaning we often write off our youthful indiscretions as youthful indiscretions. Those, you know, but there's an obligation for tshuva on those things also. There's an obligation of tshuva for all the things that I've done in life. A person should think back to their youth as well. Now, whether or not there's actual legal liability, monetary liability, for things committed in your youth is a different discussion. In any event, in this case over here, Rav Ashi, when he was younger, whatever Yalduso means, when he was younger, burnt someone's loan document, and Rafram compelled him to pay for the full value of the loan. Meaning, Abba said, this was a case. Remember, if you burn some, I just want to be clear, if you burn someone's loan document and they can recreate the loan document because there are witnesses on the transaction, there's nothing to talk about. Then you'll be liable for the piece of paper. We're talking about cases over here where what? Where Lemaisa, again, you burn the loan document and the lender no longer has the ability to collect. Now, again, remember, you have to somehow reconstruct what the transaction was. But Lemaisa, again, in that case, then the person who burnt the document will be liable for the full amount of the document. Va'agbi bay kishur litzama. And he collected from Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi, literally like the beams upon which they create engraven images. So we'll say, when they used to make like murals in homes on beams, do engravings, they would only engrave on the finest quality beams. So this is saying that Rafram didn't only collect payment from Rav Ashi, but he collected payment from Rav Ashi's finest property. Fine. So we'll say, bottom line, halacha l'maisa, what the Gemara has told us over here is that, first of all, again, we paskin, as we will see later on, that davar hagorim v'mamon is kimamon dami, that if something ultimately causes later on an outlay of cash, then that is the equivalent of a monetary transaction as well. We'll see that a little bit later on. We're now also now being introduced to the din of garmi, which is a little bit more of direct, indirect damages, which apparently, again, one is chayif for, as we see over here, that lemais, again, Rav Ashi was held accountable for burning the loan document. So the Gemara goes weiter. Chametz va'avar lava pesach omer lo harisha chalafanecha. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if I steal someone's chametz before Pesach, and then Pesach passes by, at which point now that chametz is chametz sha'avar lava pesach, I have the ability to do what? Rabosai, to return the chametz. Say, here, I'm returning, I'm doing tshuva, here is your chametz back. I don't want, the owner says, but 1 second, what can I do with that chametz? It's aser, right? I can't eat it. Now, so you should know, chametz shalom ha-pesach is only aser ba'achila, not aser ba'hana. So you can sell it. You can sell it. You could do other stuff with it. But lamais, again, you can't eat it. But now, see, even though, again, it's aser midrabanan, I could still return it. Says the Gemara, man tana omrim bi isuri hana. I'm sorry. According to Mishnah, chametz shalom ha-pesach is aser ba'hana. I'm sorry. So man tana omrim bi isuri hana harisha chalafanach. So we'll say, who is the opinion who says that even when it comes to something that is aser ba'ana, in other words, I stole an object and now it became aser ba'ana, the owner can't get any benefit from it. Who is the Tana who says that's what? That I could just simply return it to the owner and say, here, I'm returning it back to you, it's yours. Who says that? It's Rav Yaakov, the Sanya, because what does Rav Yaakov say? Shor Shehem is supposed to say, if an ox killed someone, Achlo Nigmar Dino, Machar. So we'll say, if the sentencing has not yet been handed down upon the shor, and I sold the shor prior to sentencing, the sale is a valid sale. Hikdisho Mukdash. So we'll say, if I consecrate it before sentencing, it's good. In other words, we'll say, as long as the shor has not yet been sentenced, therefore it's not yet Asr Ba'ana. However, Shakhto B'Sar Mutar, if I shacked it, it's Midi's Mutar. Hechziru Shom L'Bailo, Mukhzer, and if I'm watching this ox and I return it back to its owner before it was sentenced, I fulfilled my obligation as a shomer. However, Misha Nigmar Dino, once the ox has been sentenced, then machra in a machar, then Rabbi Ozai, if I sold it, in other words, what's in sentence, Rabbi Ozai, then what? It becomes asr ba'ano. Once it becomes asr ba'ano, if I try to sell it, the sale is not good. Hikdisha in a muktash, if I try to consecrate, consecration is not good. Shachto, if I shecht it, besara asr, its meat is asr. Hechziro shomer lebailov, if I was a custodian and I returned the shar to its owners, ain't a muksar. Ultimately, again, I have not fulfilled my obligation. I'd be obligated to return the shor. So Rabbi Yaakov says, no, af mishenigmar dinu echziro shomer lebailov mukhsar. Rabbi Yaakov says that, Rabbi Bosai, even once the shor has been sentenced, right, which Rabbi Bosai, at which point in time, the shor becomes asar bana, it's as if the shor itself is dead. Nevertheless, if the shomer returns the shor to the master, the shomer has discharged his obligation and returned the object. So the assumption over here is, my love b'hakim eflegi, so what are Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanan arguing about? Rabbi Yaakov savra omrim b'suri hanare shachal lefanecha, but Rabbanan savri in omrim b'suri hanare hare shachal lefanecha. So we'll say, at first glance, the machlokis is relatively straightforward. In other words, we'll say, what's happening over here? I was entrusted to watch a shark. The shark killed someone on my watch. The shark has now been, the judgment has been handed down. Based in Paskin, the shark is to be executed. I now show up at Ruvain's doorstep and say, thank you so much. I so much enjoyed watching your shark. Here is your shark back. Only one issue, I almost forgot to tell you. Bazin is going to execute your shar for killing a person. Rabbanan say, I as a shaliach have not fulfilled my agency and I owe Ruvain a new shar. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, I have the ability to say, Hare Shachalef Anecha, you gave me a shar, I'm giving you back a shar, I have fulfilled my obligation. What are they arguing about to both sides? So what they're arguing about is, Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbanan holds, that when it comes to Isuri Hana, you cannot say, Hare Shachalef Anecha. Here's your axe. Yet Rabbi Yaakov holds, by Isuri Hana, you can say, Hare Shachalef Anecha. To which the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbah Lo, nope, not true. Dechuli Alma Amrina B'Isuri Hana, Hare Shachalef Anecha. Was listen to this, because Rabbah says everyone agrees that when it comes to Israel, saying that it's asr ba'ana, you could return that object to the owner, and you could say Hare Shachal Lefanecha. Right? They both say that even though the object that I received was not asr ba'ana, and the object now has undergone some kind of change that makes it asr ba'ana, I, as the custodian, have the ability to, or as the thief, have the ability to give it back and say, look, as long as the object is physically the same, even if the status has changed, it's a proper hashava, proper return. De'im king, because it will say, if this is not true, niflagu b'chametz b'pesach. Then I will say, let them argue in the case of chametz b'pesach, or chametz shalav b'pesach. I will say, and I remember again, no one argues on the case of chametz sha'ar alav haPesach. Right? Rabbi says everybody agreed that what? If I steal chametz before Pesach and I decide to return it after Pesach, then what? I have fulfilled my obligation, even though it's asr ba'ana. Right? So what do you see from here? That even by isuri hana, everyone agrees that harisha chalef anecha. Rabbi says if that's the case, then what are they arguing about in the shor case? Ela amar Rabbah. Here they are arguing about something different. Here their argument, Rabbi Ozai, is about, can you go ahead and sentence the shor not in the presence of the shor, without the shor being present? We learned this before. Listen to this. Rabbanan Savri in Gomrim Dino Shoshar Elabafanov. So the rabbis say you can't sentence the shar if the shar is not present. So therefore, Rabbi say, because of that, therefore it must have been that after the shar killed someone, the shomer took the shar to Beis Din for the sentencing. The Amr Lei, because the owner could say to the shomer, I see certain Nehile, had you brought the shar back to me immediately after he killed someone, Hava Ma'arikna Leila Agma, I would have taken the shar, right, to the shar relocation program, right? I would have gone ahead and taken him out to the swamp somewhere, taken him away, and therefore, again, he would have never been able to be sentenced. Hashta Misarte Biyad Mandalo Matsina Lishtayue Dina Bade. Now you've handed him over to the Beis Din, and I have no ability to negotiate with the Beis Din. Therefore, Rabbi say, the Rabbanan say, therefore, when the Shomer brings the shar back after sentencing, That means the shomer took the shor to Beis Din, and therefore again the shomer is going to be obligated to compensate the owner with a brand new shor. Because the owner could say, had you brought back the shor immediately, we could have negotiated something. Now that you took the shor to Beis Din, you've caused me a total loss, therefore you'll be chayiv. For Rabbi Yaakov says, Gomrim dino shel shor shelo befanof. Right? Rabbi Yaakov says at the end of the day, Rabosai, the shor need not be present for sentencing. And therefore, again, the Amrlei, my Abdilei, the Shomer could say, listen, I didn't do anything by bringing the shor to Beis Din. Sof, Havagamrlei dino shelo befanof. At the end of the day, again, they could have gone ahead and sentenced the shor, even not in his presence. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. I'll record the rest of the shir a little bit later on. So we'll say, but just understand where we're ending off. The place we're ending off right now is that lemaisa, again, we have a fundamental machlokes about whether we say harei shachal lefanecha ba'isuri hana. Now again, where we're holding right now in the Gemara, it appears that everyone agrees that lemaisa, again, with isuri hana, you could say harei shachal lefanecha. Meaning again, if I took, whether I borrowed the item, stole the item, was entrusted with the item then underwent a fundamental change, so that it is now isuri, it is now asur ba'ana. But what's the but? The but is that the item itself is fully intact. It sounds like everyone is in agreement that halacha lemaisa, a shomer / a thief have the ability to return the object as is and will not be liable for any further repayment, even though the owner's usage of the item has been fundamentally compromised. So that's the where we're ending off, at least as a havamina, and Amir Tashem, we'll see where the rest of the Gemara takes us. Shka, what's up? So just a reminder, again, tonight, Emirat Hashem, the ninth kollel begins here in the Beis Medrash with a beautiful program from 8:30 to 10:15. You could come learn yourself, come learn the Chavrusa, come get set up with the Chavrusa. There'll also be another matter of Emirat Hashem at 9:15 p.m. in the Beis Medrash. I sent the information out on the WhatsApp group, and if you're interested in any way or any questions, please feel free to reach out.